everybody. This is John Yeager. We have another episode of Cast Matters today. If you recall, if you've listened to other episodes, Cast Matters talks about the journey of what CAS is, Client Accounting and Advisory Services, and how it's evolved from bookkeeping to now, you know, true accounting, technology, and advisory services. I'm excited today to have a colleague, Jake Bain, on the episode to talk about the true value of data and insights and how you can unlock it. Jake, welcome to the podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, John.
Can you give us a little your background? Tell us where you came from and why you're into this data science stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. So a lifetime consultant. Before I was at Whitley Penn, I was at KPMG right out of undergrad for about 6 years and was doing IT strategy, CIO advisory work, traveled a lot, loved it. And then I always knew I wanted to get into more data analytics. And so I got a master's in data science while I was working at KPMG and then moved over to EY, knew a partner over there. And he was like, hey, you know, come give it a swing over here. So made that jump. So the big four world. And then my clients were all West Coast based. So I was going to Seattle and San Francisco basically every week. And so about that same time, my wife and I had our first child. And so traveling, family life, wasn't working well together. And so I was trying to look for that off ramp. We lived in Fort Worth. What would I do in Fort Worth or Dallas? Ideally wanted to be in Fort Worth. And so I was looking around the website, different websites, and trying to find an analytics type role, and saw Whitley Penn. So I was consulting, but didn't really see data and analytics at that time. This was probably March. It was probably this time last year, March or April 2023. And so I reached out to Megan Strait and said, hey, you know, I do data analytics, been doing it for about 8 years at that point. How can I, you know, find out if it's a fit at Whitley Penn? So Megan Strait got me connected with Nathan. And so then Nathan McCowan kind of took, I had a business plan because if I wasn't going to travel, I was going to maybe start my own thing. And so Nathan saw my business plan and I think he, you know, gave me a chance and opportunity to see what we can do in this middle market oil and gas space in Texas. And so it's been a whole lot of fun, super thankful for the opportunity and being an entrepreneur, delivering and selling, doing all those things has really been a lot of fun. So yeah, happy to be here and happy to not be in an airplane every week.
I understand that. Quite a bit. Been there and done that. Don't want to do it again.
Yeah.
So what kind of projects have you been working on since you got to Whitley Penn?
Yeah. So obviously tons of oil and gas companies with several common business problems. It's, hey, we're using this system. We feel like the reporting isn't great, or we want to know 5 different KPIs that are coming from 10 different systems. Hey, how can you help? And so I've kind of seen the same systems popping up over and over. There's a lot of quorum products out there, a lot of older systems too, that legacy systems that folks just haven't moved off of. So there's some complexity there. And then there's obviously on-prem and cloud, that are colliding at this moment. So we're seeing it all, but right now I'd say like in the oil and gas space, it's, you know, folks wanting to just get LOS reporting or just basic financial reports for consolidating all the different entities that they have. Some of them want to calculate net royalty acreage if they're buying mineral rights and those things. So there's several different KPIs. We have a menu of KPIs that we calculate. And ultimately what this usually turns into is a dashboard or sometimes just a report. So we'll go and build the data model for them. And then we'll, ultimately automate it through a visualization tool is what clients usually like to see.
Gotcha. So obviously through your career, you've been visiting lots of companies, and as we all know, we have lots of data everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have data, and then you try to turn that to information, and then ultimately, as we've seen, you know, a lot of valuations attached to data these days, right? So how do you turn that data into an asset?
Yeah, so we're use case driven, and so what that means for our clients is, they already kind of know what they want to see. They already know what they need to run the business. They've been there for several years. And so they know at a high level what metrics matter and which ones don't. So we usually start there. We start with a use case. And then we'll kind of work from, okay, what's the objective of this report? What are we trying to calculate? Is this a report that's going to help us drive revenue growth? Is this a tool to identify where we can reduce cost? Is this a compliance tool report or something like that? So all those different kind of ways to kind of bucket what this data should be telling us. And then ultimately they'll give us, and any client will get, you know, typically I'd say 8 to 12 on the initial onset of ideas or use cases that they can think of. And then we'll prioritize them and really make sure that whatever we're building is going to be used. It's not going to be developed and put on a shelf or published somewhere, never opened. So we kind of prioritize which ones are the most useful, which ones you're going to generate the most value from in terms of time spent. And then we'll ultimately, you know, walk through, hey, what are your data quality expectations? What consumption method do you, I mean, some clients, they just like Excel. So we just get it to them in Excel. Some clients like the really nice shiny pivot table, AKA Power BI. So we give them that too. So it's really kind of whatever they like, but we, you know, again, we start with, you know, what are we trying to calculate? And then we kind of move from there.
Have you worked with the transaction advisory services team?
Yeah, a little bit.
We had Derek Bradford on last week to talk about the transaction advisory quarterback, the transaction quarterback services that they offer. And obviously they're trying to increase multiples, which increase the valuation and those kind of things. I assume that's one of the use cases that you kind of work through.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of ways that we can help pull the data out of the system in order to give it, you know, it's not just a balance sheet income statement, but maybe there's other ways to kind of value, like how sticky are, if it's a construction client, how sticky are the customers they have? Like, are they using all of their service lines? Are they only using a few? Are the jobs really profitable? So there's just some other metrics that a balance sheet and income statement might not tell you that we can really kind of jump in and get that for you.
Awesome. So as a company starts down the journey of trying to build that asset, right, that data asset, how do you, obviously Excel doesn't cost very much if you're already using it for other things, but what are some ways you can try to work on building that asset without it costing a fortune?
So the good thing is that reports already are out there for the companies that we support. So a lot of times we go in and the queries, what they want the report to look like has already been somewhat built out. It might not be perfect for what they need, and they might have to do a lot of manual things behind the scenes to get it to where they want it to be. But the good thing is we always have a starting point when we go in the door with clients. We're not building a report from scratch. So a lot of times, you know, sometimes we'll run into data quality issues, but a lot of times what they want is already somewhat envisioned. And so we're able to go in and kind of recreate that and make it more modern, aka through a Power BI, which is also relatively inexpensive. And then I would say 90% of the clients that I've seen have Office 365 or are on that platform. So being able to publish reports throughout the organization, being able to build them licenses for Power BI, and also Copilot, one of the new capabilities that's been launched, is already there at clients. So, you know, we're not going in and saying, hey, you need this whole new suite of tools and applications. Like, a lot of times they already have it in their subscription. They just maybe don't have the know-how to use it. So we can go in, I would say, at a relatively low price point in terms of technology, but then obviously the hours, the development times that it takes us is where a majority of the cost would come. But again, you know, we're not reselling certain softwares or anything like that. It's really, hey, what do you have? And if there is a gap, we can assess that too and pull in other folks that have that expertise. But a lot of times the tools are there. They just need someone to spend the time on it.
Gotcha. So you mentioned Copilot. I've played around with that a little bit, played around with ChatGPT. Are you seeing more kind of use cases where people can load their data? Is that what people are doing, is giving Copilot access to their data and then be able to access it through the AI tool?
Yeah. So the way I kind of envision, I think reporting should always, it should be self-service. And if you're not self-service, then how do we get there? And so I kind of think of the evolution of reporting was maybe PDFs and Excel files, early 2000s, to a Power BI and visualization tools, maybe 2009 to 2013, when that really started to boom and show up. And it's still there today. And a lot of clients are still getting to that point. But when I think self-service, natural language querying should be a part of every business when they're ready for it, assuming the data is ready to be queried like that. And so I kind of envision the clients that we're supporting today that are using Power BI as a self-service reporting tool, the next step to get them to is natural language query. So there's one certain thing that they want to see, they should be able to go in and grab it on demand whenever they want to. So we're getting clients there, but yeah, I think it's just the natural progression for our clients would to move into a Copilot capability so that they can, you know, they don't have to click through pie charts. They don't have to click through or add filters. The filter is the question. So they should start to see that in the future.
Absolutely. So obviously you're working with kind of mid-market companies at the big four. You worked with large companies. So as you move in complexity from Excel and then Power BI, and you have use cases where you want to make a bigger investment and really create that ROI, you know, do you guys work with clients to do that? What's kind of the next step if Power BI can't solve all their problems and they need to kind of grow bigger than that?
Yeah. So our kind of master plan roadmap to get us to scale and bring ROI to our clients even more is, you know, we call what we, our service is data products and strategy. And why we call it a data product is I think of it like going on Amazon. And if I want to go purchase something, well, I'm looking for, I have to go look, it has to be discoverable. So there's obviously a search bar on Amazon. I can go find whatever I'm looking to purchase. I need to be able to trust it. So what's the brand and does the metadata associated? Is it 5 stars, 4 stars? All of those things I think of as very similar within an organization of using reports and data and analytics. So kind of our master plan is, as we're developing what we're calling data products today, could be construction or service line profitability for our client. Service line profitability should be something that we can use, reuse, kind of memorialize internally for them so that that can, you know, be attached to other data sets. But once we get that metric really nailed down, it becomes reusable. They don't have to build that same report, you know, every week. That's something one of our clients was, I think she was spending like 10 hours a week creating that report. It came from 5 different spreadsheets. So, and our goal is to really kind of stabilize some of the main reporting products that they use and then move that to the future so that we're not building the same report. We're not running the same or, you know, building the same queries and those things. So I think that's how ultimately our clients will see the scale, how they'll feel the scale. And they'll also see ROI of like, you know, hey, those certain things that we've always struggled to calculate or see metrics in, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Let's move on to other more complex things or just running our business. So I think that's ultimately how they'll see the scale aspect.
So when you've got multiple data sources that have to connect to a Power BI or whatever tools, are you using APIs? Are you using CSV uploads, downloads? How are you connecting those pipes?
Yeah, so a lot of them are, there's like the native connectors in Power BI through like SQL Server. And so we will really work backwards and say, okay, what report are you using today? What's the query you generating? How's that? What query are we using to generate that? We'll see what tables are being connected. We'll see how the data is really stitched together. And then we will recreate or optimize that query in Power BI, run it through Power BI. And then it'll be much shorter, much quicker, and gets you the same output as that Excel file they were using, but now it's automated. So a lot of it's, I would say, SQL to Power BI connections. There's some other like cloud data sources that are native also in Power BI. So luckily all the connectors in Power BI are already there. So there hasn't been anything too complex we haven't seen yet.
Awesome. Well, I think that kind of wraps things up from our standpoint, unless there's anything else you want to point out to the audience to give them some thoughts on how they can take their, you know, data as an asset into the next life.
Yeah, I think the good part about what I'm doing, and again, like the reports are already used in the business today, and then there's not a huge upfront cost that I think many people kind of get spooked by, oh, this new technology, it's going to cost, I know, a lot of money, but you could already have that suite of applications already paying for in your Microsoft subscription. So I think that's something where if you have it in there, you want to use it, and you also Just want to be able to, you know, on demand see certain metrics on a weekend, at night, or whatever, you know, that you want to focus on within 4 to 6 weeks. We can typically spin those things up, automate it, and then we're out the door. We can also help support, do the maintenance aspect as well. But our goal is really to create this reporting platform internally for you so that it's self-service and you can run it, right? And then we're on to the next thing. So it's been fun. I would say it's been fun so far.
Yeah, I think that's one of the main things that I've seen over the past, say, 5 to 7 years is the cost of having enterprise-wide capability, whatever it might be, whether it's on the ERP side, whether it's on the FP&A side, and certainly on the data analytics side, you can get into those spaces a lot less expensive than 10 years ago, because the cost of storage, the cost of the tools, you know, those type of things. And so I think it's been great for small and mid-sized businesses to be able to access the same type of enterprise solutions that have normally been reserved for the, you know, very largest of the large.
Right. And then obviously the low code, the advent of low code tools, right, where it's, you don't have to be a Python programmer to know how to do some of these things. A lot of it's just could be drag and drop. So I think that part is really rewarding, and it's getting even more easy to learn. I mean, ChatGPT in itself can write you a code, you know, for a certain thing, right? So I think that's the fun part of being on this in this industry, is that it's always evolving. It's getting more and more, you know, sharp, and so fun to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Well, if we have any listeners out there who want to get in touch with you to talk more about how you might be able to help their company, how would they do that?
Yeah, so you can obviously reach out, emails jake.bain@whitleypenn.com. And then obviously on our website, there's a data products and strategy kind of section that we actually, I think it's live as of today, or will be updated early tomorrow, which has screenshots of data products we've developed, services we offer. And so some of those things, so, you know, quick way to kind of see what we offer and how it can be helpful.
Fantastic. Well, Jake, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast with us. I'm sure there's lots of good information in there that our listeners will take advantage of and maybe reach out. So thanks a lot for coming on board.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
This wraps up another episode of Cast Matters. I hope everybody got some good information from this episode and found some ways to maybe turn your data into an asset. So hope everybody has a great rest of the day, and look forward to the next episode in the next couple weeks. Thank you.